blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And once again, in for Abraham Hamilton III is none other than yours truly, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It is my pleasure and my honor to do so. And thank all of you for your prayers, for your support, for this wonderful network. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you very, very much. Keep it up, please, because as you can see, our country desperately needs us. It needs AFR. It needs you. It needs all of us working together to try to save our country from those people who, for whatever demonic reason, have it set in their hearts to destroy, to undermine the greatest constitutional republic, the greatest nation that the world has ever seen. And we're not going to let that happen, period. It's simply not going to be allowed to happen. God is not going to allow it to happen as long as we will stand firm. And we are standing firm. We're not going anywhere, folks. We are going to be here until Jesus comes. Well, look, first, let me thank you all. Some of you I'm going to see on Tuesday night, May 12th, because you have taken advantage of some complimentary tickets that we have because of AFR's sponsorship of our Stand Awards dinner. That's going to be at the Tysons Corner Marriott on Tuesday, May 12th at 7 p.m. If you're coming, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I will say, now we are down to only a few days, a week and one day to the dinner. We do have just a few tickets left. The AFR table, we had 10 seats available. We just have a few left and very little time to fill them. If you are one of those last-minute people who say, well, I've been thinking about this, and I don't live too far away, you know, maybe I will go. We do have enough tickets probably to meet your needs, but you got to call in. You got to take advantage now. First come, first serve for those last few tickets that are left. 757-375-6444 to call or to email awardsdinner@standinc.net, awardsdinner@standinc.net. And I am looking forward to seeing you there. It is going to be a wonderful event, folks. Erica Kirk will not be able to be there in person, but she did send in a powerful video speaking to the people who are there. We're honoring Charlie Kirk with a posthumous award and several others. Richard Viguerie, one of the pioneers of the modern conservative movement. Pastor, Bishop and Pastor Patrick L. Wooden, who is a jurisdictional bishop for the Church of God in Christ and one of the most outspoken and powerful voices for truth in our country. If you have not heard of him, Google him. Patrick L. Wooden. Believe me, you're going to find out this man is a powerhouse. And Marjorie Dannenfelser, who runs the largest organization, pro-life organization in America, Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. It used to be Susan B. Anthony List. She's one of the pioneering people who got that organization started, was the first executive director, and she took that role almost immediately after the organization was founded. So we got some outstanding people. We're giving the George Washington Award for taking a stand, and I'll tell you, it's going to be an historic event. It really is. So I'm looking forward to it, and if you want to come, this is the last opportunity, probably the last. I will be subbing for Abraham Hamilton III tomorrow evening, and I probably will not have the same message. I'll probably be saying, sorry, folks, it is all over, but we're looking forward to seeing those of you who are coming. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the lying spirit that seems to be running amok in our country. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And the Bible teaches us to hate lies and hate falsehood. We don't hate people, but we do hate lies, and we hate lying, and we hate falsehood. And we're hearing so much of that today, so much of it. Before I get to the opening discussion on that, I do want to mention one other thing. Spirit Airlines, of course, just went bankrupt. 17,000 people have lost their jobs, and apparently untold numbers of people have lost their money on tickets that they paid for. The likelihood is that they will get, if anything, pennies on the dollar, if anything, for the money that they lost. Apparently, there's nothing left of the airline because it was leveraged to the hilt. There's nothing left of it now to sell or to merge with. But I just want to point out once again, power and control is what drove the last administration and what seems to drive the left at all times. Spirit and JetBlue were trying to merge. They were merging because JetBlue is fairly strong. It's a low-cost airline. Spirit was trying to move into that space but failing at the brink of bankruptcy. They've had two bankruptcies since the merger was denied, and now they've simply closed their doors. And the Biden administration stopped them from merging, which might have produced one stronger airline because they could have taken over some of Spirit's, some of their flight patterns, some of their destinations. They could have saved probably some, undoubtedly some, maybe even all of those employees might have been put to work because it would have meant an expansion of JetBlue's flights and opportunities to serve the public. But the Biden administration took the position that, well, we can't have people being denied choice. Well, guess what? They're denied choice now because now there's just JetBlue and Spirit is bankrupt. 17,000 people out of work, and who knows how many people lost money because the closing was very, very sudden, and it's over. I just point that out to say once again, you know, these people get caught up in power and ideology, and they don't think practically. Now, we don't have monopolies in our country, and our laws are written to prohibit monopolies, but this was not going to be a monopoly. This was simply going to be one inefficient company being merged with an efficient company for the purpose of saving the inefficient company and expanding the reach and market of the efficient company. That's the way the market works. There's nothing nefarious or conspiratorial about that. That's the way the market is supposed to work. But the Biden administration stepped in and said, no, we're not going to let the market work that way because we don't think that there ought to be one airline controlling all of these possible flights. We think there ought to be two. But they apparently have no sense of business and didn't look to see that Spirit wasn't going to make it. It was quite obvious that they weren't going to make it. About the government taking it over, but President Trump determined not to do that because, of course, there's nothing there to take over now because of the all of their equipment, including their airplanes, have been leased, trying to get the cash that they needed to try to keep the business afloat, and it all ultimately failed. So once again, as Ronald Reagan famously said, you know, always be leery and wary when somebody shows up saying, I'm the government and we're here to help. Because what government tends to do is ruin things, destroy things, render things inefficient, unusable. And this is another case of government intervention claiming to do good, and instead they've done tremendous harm. So I just wanted to point that out. All right. You all, I know, have heard about the great controversy over Jimmy Kimmel's remarks about Melania Trump. He staged this deal where he acted like he was at the White House correspondents' dinner as MC, and he was making jokes and showing the faces of the president and the first lady as if they were there. Now, that was not true. He was not there, but this was his shtick, his act. But during the course of that, he told a joke. Well, he thought it was a joke about Melania having the glow of a widow in waiting, like, you know, the woman is waiting for her husband to die because obviously he's likely to die at any moment. That was the implication of the joke. And apparently his audience laughed at it, I guess. I don't find that funny at all. But I want you to hear his explanation for the joke. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And then when I finally open the calls, the lines up, I want to hear your take on this. And I'm going to give you a couple more examples of what is happening, because I think it's kind of the spirit of the age, the spirit of the left, and the spirit of the Democrat Party. Let's listen to this clip.
It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not by any stretch of the definition a call to assassination. And they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against gun violence.
Now, you know, he says, and they know that. I've been very vocal speaking out against violence. This is not about gun violence. This is about people who are attempting to kill the president of the United States, specifically President Donald J. Trump. Now, I have to ask you, which do you think it is? Is Jimmy Kimmel that consummate a liar that he would tell that bold-faced lie? Because if Jimmy Kimmel doesn't know that a joke like that with a president who has already endured two assassination attempts is inappropriate and would never be interpreted as a joke about age, really? Really? Or is he so brainwashed? Is he so thoroughly self-deceived that he actually believes what he's speaking out of his mouth? Because look, folks, President Trump hasn't merely suffered two assassination attempts. President Trump was actually shot. He was shot. And nothing but an inch or two stood between his being wounded with a shot that hit his ear and his being killed by a shot that entered his head. And then we had the guy caught in Mar-a-Lago laying in wait for the president while playing golf to come near enough that he could kill him. Now, can anybody with a brain actually believe that Jimmy Kimmel doesn't know that when you have a president of the United States who has had two attempts on his life, one in which he was shot, that a joke about his wife becoming a widow is not going to be taken as a joke about his age? I mean, is he that stupid that he thinks we believe that? Or is he that self-deceived that he believes that? Either way, it's contemptible. But at this point, I think Jimmy Kimmel, he might be one of those worker bees in the far left movement that is really so thoroughly ingrained by the cult that he really believes this stuff. He spoke those words and actually believes them, which I mean that takes monumental self-deception to believe that. Because there's no way in the world. It would be different if the president had never been shot. It would be different if the president had no attempts on his life. It'd be different if the president's presidency didn't generate all of these threats and all of the heat and all of the wishes for him to die and all. That would be different. But that's not the president we have. We have a president who is probably on any given day getting thousands of death threats and has had two actual attempts on his life, one that came within an inch or two of succeeding. Now, this man needs to be held accountable. I want to ask you, do you believe him? Do you believe he believes that? And do you believe that he ought to keep his job when he's making jokes about the assassination of the president? Because that's what that was. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. We'll be back in just a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
How tragic it is when people who say they love Jesus will see the need, see the problems, for whatever reason, pass by on the other side. Sometimes people may think, well, it's not my problem and I don't want to be a victim like he was. Well, that's a wrong perspective. Some may think, well, I'm busy, I've got other things to do. Well, it's easy to say everybody's busy. Everybody has something to do. But by the grace of God, we see where God commended the Samaritan. He too had something to do, but he took time. He made time to stop and help with compassion someone who'd been beat up and left for dead on the side of the road by the world. You and I need to make time to live a life of compassion. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. How important it is that we're faithful to do that. This is what we're made for.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And this is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. So here's the second issue I want to raise with you. James Comey has now been indicted. And people are debating whether there's enough evidence that he could actually be convicted of a threat against the President of the United States. But let's just review this the same way we did Jimmy Kimmel's comment. He claims he's walking on the beach and he finds this interesting shell formation, he calls it, as if it was deposited there by nature. You can tell. And the shell formation just happens to say 8647. Now, look, folks, I have never lived a life of crime. I did when I practiced law. I did some criminal work, but I couldn't say my practice was dedicated to criminal practice, because the only time I did criminal practice was when I had a client who needed my help and had more confidence in me than anyone else, and wanted me to handle their case. So I did some criminal cases under those circumstances, but I had an associate in my office who did nothing but criminal work. And all of his associates tended to be criminals. I mean, he had criminals fixing his house. He had criminals, you know, fixing his car. And he had criminals doing a variety of things sometimes to help pay the bill for his representing them. And we used to laugh about it. I said, you know, I guess when you practice criminal law like that, I guess all your friends become criminals. He would chuckle. I've never had that. But even I know what 86 means. And in the world of crime and violence, 86 means to kill. 86 doesn't mean to fire somebody from their job. And once again, James Comey, like Jimmy Kimmel, I had no idea. I just thought it was a cute thing. Does anybody believe that? I mean, you are the former head of the FBI. You have actually dealt with criminal matters for years. Had to make judgments about, you know, seeking arrest warrants and reviewing cases. And you mean to tell me this man didn't know that 8647 meant kill President Trump? And he's only just discovering that now, but that's not what, how could anybody interpret it that way? It came from restaurants. Well, I'm not saying that the slang couldn't have another connotation, but once again, it doesn't grow out of a vacuum. It is in a context of a president who has had two people, now three, try to 86 him. So again, is James Comey lying? Or is he so self-deceived, so indoctrinated into this cult-like thinking that on some level he actually believes his own lie? I've never had any trust in James Comey because, as I've said before, James Comey is a self-admitted communist. Now, not that he is now, but and you can look it up. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. He actually told a New York Post reporter, a New Yorker reporter, not New York Post, but a New Yorker reporter, New Yorker magazine, I think it was. Yeah, I used to be a communist, he says. And I'm not sure what I am now. I probably lean more Republican than anything else, so he claimed. But I think he was just trying to clean that up to make it look like, oh yeah, I used to be a flaming leftist, but now I'm a conservative. Well, that was certainly a lie. But I think that was a lie to basically cover himself. But he said, I used to be a communist. I started out as a communist. So I never trusted the guy. I think there's something's not right with him, frankly. I really believe that. And I believe that when he took a picture of that formation, which he probably did himself, and put it out there, he knew exactly what he was saying. Just like Jimmy Kimmel, though he may be self-deceived, I can't believe that Jimmy Kimmel doesn't know that what he said would have been taken as a call to make Melania a widow. Not waiting for it because, oh, the age difference is so great. That's what I was referring to. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. I've never looked at President Trump and looked at Melania and thought, man, there's a big age difference there. He looks like he could be her father. I've never thought that. I see them as husband and wife. And President Trump, I mean, he says, you know, he's trying to make his case. I mean, he's almost 80. But I tell you what, President Trump is a vigorous, energetic, sharp guy. And I don't look at him and think, oh, man. So I don't even buy that he thinks that anybody would have gotten that if that was supposed to be the joke. I mean, to me, President Trump is he's a man's man, and he's got a beautiful wife. And I've never thought anything differently. I'm like, oh, look at how old he is and how young she is. I don't think most Americans think of that. But somehow that's what he was thinking of. And now with James Comey, I just saw a beautiful shell formation that I thought was interesting. Yeah, I really believe these elites are on one level or another playing with the president's life. On one level or another, they are playing with the president's life and gambling, hoping that somebody, like many of them say when these things happen, like that company I told you about, I think I told you all about it, that brewing company said, you know, we want the people who are part of the revolution to learn to shoot straight because we're going to give out beer to the whoever assassinates. I mean, we're going to give out beer when somebody finally assassinates President Trump. I mean, that's in effect what they were saying. Except they weren't hiding it or making any bones about it or pretending otherwise. I hope they're being investigated by the Secret Service. I hope they're being called to account. Because, look, I'm almost a First Amendment absolutist. I believe that people ought to be able to say whatever they want to say, except to threaten you with bodily harm or anybody. And certainly the President of the United States. I think that's where you draw the line. And you can't hide behind it. See, this is what they're trying to do. These are the people who want to censor you. If you say, well, homosexuality is sin, oh, you can't say that. That's hate speech. But they want to make all these cute little references to killing the president of the United States and then act like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. What about then they want to hide behind the First Amendment. Then all of a sudden, the First Amendment is the most important thing. But it wasn't important when we were saying, hey, we think this whole COVID vaccine thing is a hoax. We think that thing has got a lot of side effects, and we think it's being used as a power play. Oh, you know, you're tinfoil people. We got to shut you down. You're going to kill people. We think ivermectin needs to be looked at, and these other treatments need to be looked at, and we're not buying into this distancing stuff. You are dangerous people. We need to investigate you because you're going to get people killed. And basically, they wanted us censored. I got kicked off of YouTube, I think, about 3 times because I said things like, well, you know, our immune system, I think, is better than the shot. And they kicked me off for saying that. And it was true. And it was right. Because my wife and I had COVID. We got over it. Never had it again. Never had any problem. Family members and people we knew who had all the shots got it 2 and 3 times. COVID, 2 or 3 times. And bad cases. Did you hear that now they're doing it with the Justice Department is investigating the fact that the administrators were hiding information about adverse side effects from the very beginning. They didn't. That's why they didn't want people to hear about your own immune system. They didn't want to hear people hear about alternative treatments because they were so committed to selling this shot that they were willing to shut anybody down who would dare question its efficacy. Anybody in the military who said, I don't want to take that, we're kicking you out, and you're not even going to get an honorable discharge. People who have served our country honorably, all of a sudden, they're outlaws. They're persona non grata. They need to be driven from the military because they're a danger to the morale. I mean, this stuff, I mean, Jesus said of those who opposed him, you are of your father, the devil. The deeds of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks as his own, of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. And the same thing can be said about these folks. I mean, folks, it may be harsh, but it's the truth. I speak it in love, by the way, because it may be the only way they're ever going to realize they've got to turn around from this demonic stuff that they're doing. One more thing, and then in the next segment, I want to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court case in Louisiana because, of course, the left is just going apoplectic. Donna Brazile, she was on ABC, and I mean, she was almost in hysterics. She was like having a nervous breakdown, saying this is taking us back to Jim Crow because they struck down a majority minority district. In other words, a congressional district that was drawn to be sure that it had a majority of Americans of African ancestry in it, and that they could only elect an American of African ancestry. In other words, only majority black, and they could only elect a black representative. Well, let me just say once again, and I certainly invite you all to weigh in on this. I think that was, these majority minority districts, I believe, were a mistake from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Because the faulty premise is that in order to be fair to black people, they must have a black representative. Well, that's wrong. In order to be fair, they must at least have the opportunity to elect somebody who shares their values. And I have to tell you, Donna Brazile could never represent my values. The other person who's going crazy over this is Spike Lee. Spike Lee says, this is an attack on black voters. Well, you can still vote. And you can still vote for somebody who you believe represents you. The sad thing is, if you think that that person has to be a person of darker skin, I just feel sorry for you. Because that is so superficial and so thoughtless and so vacuous, so empty-headed. Because we ought all be looking for people who we believe represent our values, represent our principles, represent our ideals. I've said before, I've got a guy who represents me in the state Senate. His name is Nedarius Clark. I call him Nefarious because, I mean, there is nothing, he happens to be black, there is nothing about him that could represent me. Nothing. We have nothing in common in terms of our worldview. And leaving aside the whole victimization card, oh, we're all victims and we're going to rescue you from those terrible races. I need somebody to rescue me from him. No, I want somebody who shares my values. I want somebody who comes with a biblical worldview. I want somebody who sees human beings as human beings. I want somebody who understands that there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want somebody who understands that the only hope for mankind is redemption through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we're talking. I want somebody who believes in the power of individual liberty rather than the power of government. I want somebody who wants individuals to be free to pursue their God-given gifts and talents and abilities, the pursuit of their happiness rather than government telling them what they can and cannot do based on what government believes is best for them. And I can tell you that there is no Democrat I know of, black, white, or otherwise, who represents my values. I mean, look, to be fair, there's some Republicans who don't represent my values. I wouldn't vote for them either. Because that's what matters to me. I was talking to somebody earlier about this. I do happen to be a Republican. But unlike, and I am first and foremost a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am first and foremost a Christian. And unlike many of these people who claim to be Christians who are members of the Democrat Party, I'm not going to justify any old thing and vote for a person because that person happens to be a Republican, and say, well, yeah, I know that. But as a Republican, they're going to, and then make a bunch of excuses. Because if the person does not comport with my values, I don't care what the label is beside their name, I'm not supporting them. I mean, I have people who I really know and love and believe are Christians tell me I should have voted for John Reed for lieutenant governor of Virginia. And I met with him and talked to him and liked him, seemed like a very nice guy. But I told him, I can't vote for you. Because I can't vote for someone who represents the very thing I say is a scourge to society, which is the acceptance of homosexuality. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. He was a Republican, but he didn't get my vote. Okay, we'll be back in a moment to take your calls. 888-589-8840.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
What if healthcare could be more than bills and bureaucracy? What if it could reflect faith, foster community, and offer spiritual support? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, the mission goes beyond medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and embracing healthcare that aligns with Christian values. Redeem members share medical expenses through monthly contributions, supporting one another in a Christ-centered community. It's not insurance, it's believers helping believers through financial support and prayer. And Redeem HealthShare provides freedom for members to select the doctors, hospitals, and treatments that are right for them. No networks, no restrictions, just faith-driven care. From everyday checkups to unexpected medical emergencies, Redeem offers flexible programs and encouragement rooted in Scripture. Because your healthcare should reflect your faith, not compromise it. More at redeemhealthshare.org.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III, and honored to be taking this seat in his behalf. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I have a couple of questions. You can bring up any topic you want to bring up. Do you think these people are deceived? Do they believe the lies that they're telling? Or do you think that in their heart of hearts, they really just want to get President Trump killed? And they're trying to be real slick about it. Oh, yeah, I didn't know what 8647 meant. Or, no, that was a joke about the age difference. Come on, folks. They know that. And look, let me make one more comment about these majority-minority districts, which I just absolutely despise. I think they are terrible blight on the Constitution. And you have people saying, Donna Brazile saying, it's unconstitutional to do away with these. I mean, we can partisan gerrymander. Well, why can't we racially gerrymander? Because if you're going to start doing that and keep doing that, you can't respond to the logic that says, well, then why don't we have districts for white people? Why don't we have districts for Asian people? Why don't we have districts for Hispanic people? I mean, why don't we just slice and dice the country ethnically? Well, because that's not America. That is a violation of the Constitution. That's not the way we're supposed to be governing ourselves. But think about this and ask yourself this question. And of course, you know what they're saying. They're taking us back to Jim Crow. I've been hearing this stuff for the last 40 years. They're going to take us back to slavery. Do you know, my calculation is in about 25 years, there won't be a single person alive who experienced Jim Crow of any race. It'll just be a word and a historical phenomenon that people read about. Nobody will be alive who witnessed it, saw it, participated in it. They'll all be gone. Well, at what point do we stop trying to act like that's where we're going? We're going back to that. In fact, if anybody's going back to that, it's the people who are so racially conscious that they turn everything into a racial matter in order to divide us. And they're the ones we have to have a separate black this and a separate black that and a separate Hispanic this. And they're the ones who are stoking the separation. I think the American people just want us all to just be Americans and be human beings. And be citizens. When does the statute of limitations on this stuff run out? When do we quit stoking it? You know, I think if the left has its way, you know what the answer is? Never. Never. Because it provides too convenient a political tool and too convenient a tool of manipulation. They will never give it up. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to the phones and start taking your calls. Let's go to Ernie in Florida. Ernie, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Blessed to have an opportunity to speak with you.
Well, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Well, I want to say this. The foolishness of Jimmy Kimmel's comment is this. Rejoice in the day that the Lord has given. No one's tomorrow's promise. Trump could outlive him and everybody else. So for him to insinuate that, oh, because of their age gap, your tomorrow is no more promised than Trump's. We don't know. We walk by faith and not by sight. So even with the age difference, it's going to be the funny joke will be if Trump outlives him. How about that one?
Well, and you know, you point out something. Look, very, very real from a biblical point of view. I've been saying, hey, you know, these people better watch out because you reap what you sow. And while they're so busy speaking death, you know, there's a proverb that says, he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on them, and he who digs a pit will fall into it themselves. So they better quit, because on a spiritual level, well, you may be digging a hole for yourself that you're trying to dig for him. So, Ernie, thank you for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Oscar in Arkansas. Oscar, welcome.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you just fine, Oscar.
I had a question about, it's a very negative question, but lately I have been seeing consistent data about how companies are using AI for breaching people's data so they can give like a specific price for a product. You know, at the same time, people are paying different prices, getting, target advertising, and they're also breaching into our health insurance information to give specific rates and so on and so on. And what are your thoughts that the government is not focusing on this? Like, as someone that follows users, I really, really don't like people getting into our privacy and profiting from that and just abusing from the people that cannot afford even a VPN.
Well, Oscar, thank you so much for the call and for the question. Look, I think you raise a very, very important issue. I was just talking to my staff earlier today about AI and its positive uses and making the point that, of course, it has a very, very powerfully negative downside. And in fact, I'll tell you something. I think as a student of the Bible, I think AI is going to be instrumental in the last days and in the great tribulation for deceiving people because it's already being used that way. I mean, you all heard about the guy from India who created a woman, a MAGA woman. The guy's from India. He created a MAGA woman and made a ton of money, and the woman's not real. I mean, it's completely made up. She's wearing bathing suits and she's wearing patriotic gear, and this guy's not even an American. So I really believe that the government needs to be very, very vigilant about this, respecting freedom of speech and all that. But I think that this stuff is potentially deadly. Well, we already know that. I mean, you talk about phishing on steroids, and you all know what I mean by phishing, where people get online and pretend to be someone else, create a whole different persona for the purpose of manipulating people, exploiting people, sometimes even raping and murdering people. So this thing is I'll tell you, it is potentially very, very deadly. You know, talked to another prophetic friend of mine. We were talking about, that passage where in the book of Revelation, where the false prophet makes the image of the beast to speak. And I thought, you know, when that was written, nobody could have understood. What does that mean? Think about that. 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, even 100 years ago. Well, now, you and I read that and we think, boy, that's very, very real. Because here's what's truly dangerous. I mean, people could make up an image of someone on AI that looks so real and put them in a very terrible, ugly circumstance doing something that they're not really doing. And young ladies have had this happen to them. And people think it's that person. And it ruins that person's life. So, boy, Oscar, you raise a very important issue, my friend. Let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Robert, also in Arkansas. Robert, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. How you doing, sir?
Blessed. Robert, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Living the dream, man. Driving 18-wheelers across the country. You know, Thank you, thank you. I had just wanted to comment about the assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm prior service. I don't know if you served.
Yes, I served the United States Marine Corps. Thank you for your service.
Okay. I appreciate it. But when you think of Secret Service, you think of, like, you know, Navy SEALs, former Marines, you know, people that know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking this is like kind of like an inside job or whatever, because how do you fire off 5 shots and let's just say you're like, you know, a Navy SEAL. Them guys don't miss, you know.
Yeah.
Like they should have hit the guy. So I just wanted to, see what you thought about that.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Maybe.
Yeah, thank you for the call, brother. We're getting close to, we can still get a couple calls in, folks, 888-589-8840. Let me say this. I don't buy the conspiracy theories. The left is putting out the word that this was fake and this was artificial, and this is Trump made this up in order to get the ballroom through, in order to get people's minds off Iran. I mean, you know, you just have to shake your head with people like that. Because what can you say to people who are that deluded? I mean, it's a real person who committed a real act. We know exactly where he came from. We know exactly how he got to the hotel. We know exactly when he checked in. He wrote a manifesto making clear that he hated Trump and hated his administration. He goes out. And let me just say this. As a military man, I don't know how much firearms training you had. And I consider myself an intermediate, not an expert, but I've had quite a lot of experience. Man, if you just have any sense at all of what you're doing, you can fire off five shots in, what, 3 seconds, 2 seconds? If you know what you're doing, that's not hard. I mean, it really isn't. It's not hard. Now, it would be hard for a beginner or somebody who's not accustomed to the sound and the recoil. But for somebody who's got any kind of experience, I mean, this is what people don't understand. The other thing is, and I've never been in this situation, thank God, but I've done dynamic gun training, and I can tell you this: it's very different than standing up shooting at a steel target. When you're in a hot situation and you are potentially facing a gunfight. Well, it takes a very, very, very well-trained person to be accurate. I'm just letting you all know. I mean, so the fact that this guy fired off five shots and he's supposed to, you know, and all that, to me, that is not surprising. He hit one Secret Service agent, we're told, but he didn't hit many people. I mean, he didn't hit anybody else, as far as we know, even though he used a shotgun. I think he used buckshot. Which of course sprays, and you can hit more people that way. And I guess that was his intent. But my point is, you just can't judge things based upon what happens in a dynamic environment, because people don't know. Even trained officers like these Secret Service agents, how many of them has ever been in a gunfight? Well, the whole ball game changes. You know, it's like Mike Tyson used to say. Everybody goes into the ring with a plan until you get hit. So I think the same situation is true here. Let's see. Let's get a couple more calls in here. We've got Dan of Iowa. Dan, welcome.
How you doing, my brother?
Blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed too. Blessed more than I deserve. Thank
hey,
God.
Man, aren't we
Praise
all?
The Lord.
Amen.
All right. I'll try to keep it quick because I know you're running out of time. First thing I wanted to mention was, when COVID first happened here and they kept the cruise ships out in the water for 2, 3, 4 weeks and people were dying out there, Dr. Fauci talked about herd immunity and let herd immunity kick in. People will get sick, some might die, blah, blah, blah. But once people start, the body starts curing itself, everybody, herd immunity is going to take over. And then very mm-hmm. quickly, they put hush hush on the ivermectin and the they fast tracked the shots because they didn't want to talk about the possibility of that other stuff working. And I can't hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm saying that correctly. I don't know.
Yeah. You caught me a little bit on that one too. But what you're talking about.
Last but not least, why does Dr. Fauci, and this is a whole kind of skewed bet, he retired at $415,000 a year. I'm tired of politicians and 50-year people retiring and living the king's life, so to speak.
Thanks, brother.
I love the show. I listen to you guys every day on the way home because this is my sanity right here. This keeps me sane.
Man. Well, Dan, we're glad to serve, brother. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, I think about Fauci collecting that big check, sitting in front of a desk, staring at his own gigantic mural. You tell me, this guy, who does that? Who has a gigantic picture of himself on a wall in front of himself to look at? I mean, that tells you all you need to know. Something's clearly not right with this man. I've said all along, I think a man ought to be locked up for crimes against humanity. But, well, look, that's going to do it for today. I will be back with you all tomorrow night, so we'll have an opportunity to continue the conversation. If you didn't get in today, give it a try tomorrow. Look, folks, you know what you do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.